California condors. Imagine them soaring for miles without even flapping their enormous wings. Sadly, Native American tribes have long had to use their imaginations. Condors were wiped out from their ancestral territory by the early 20th century. But after decades of research and outreach, the Yurok tribe is set to reintroduce the critically endangered birds back to Northern California skies. This spring, they say, the condor will soar again. Tiana Williams-Claussen is the director of the Yurok Tribe's Wildlife Department. Hi, Tiana.
Hi, Celeste. Thanks so much for having me here today.
So we're talking about four young condors raised in captivity that will be released in Redwood National and State Parks. Can you tell me about how complicated this process has been of getting them to this point of release?
If I had all day, I could tell you how complicated it's been. But we actually started this process as a tribal government officially in 2008 and went through years of habitat analyses, partnership buildings, particularly with Redwood National and State Parks, who's one of our strongest partners there in the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, enacting legislation, community outreach, and finally culminating through our environmental assessment process, which wrapped up in 2021 with that final approval to bring condors home. And since then, we have just been running ragged for the last year.
So we say four young condors. How young are they?
Two of the birds will be about 3 years old upon release, and two of them will be about 2 years old. So they're fully flight capable. They've never yet been out in the wild, though. So they're particularly unique in that we'll be releasing these juveniles into a relatively empty space, which is a little bit different than other places that California condors are being released, where they have established flocks by this point.
In years past, before condors were endangered, they had a huge range all the way from Baja California up into Canada. How far do you expect your condors to travel?
The thing about releasing the young birds is we're very much hoping for management reasons that they'll stick relatively close to home, at least for the first few years. And given that, as I mentioned, they don't have a flock to integrate into, they'll be kind of scoping out this area and re-identifying places that condors historically used. So probably not too far in the first few years, but once they're established, a condor can fly as much as 100 miles per day around its established territory, or 200 miles per day if it's trying to get from point A to point B. And there have been geospatial analyses conducted in coordination with a collection of traditional knowledge that show that we expect condors to start expanding northward, kind of along the coast and in the mountain ranges, and maybe down even into the Sierras to the east and the south as well, but perhaps wrapping up all the way into the Columbia Gorge and heading east from there and up into Washington. So we kind of consider this to be the gateway for re-expansion into the Pacific Northwest.
All this work is personal to you, as I understand. Not only you're a member of the Yurok tribe, but you earned a degree at Harvard and then came back to work on condor reintroduction. This has been your project. Have you imagined the moment when those birds are finally arrive and are released?
It seems almost unreal, despite the fact that we'll be receiving our first birds in really just a couple, 3 weeks. What keeps striking me is when I'm driving along the highway, for example, through the mountain ways or along the coast, along the canyons, and I'll see a turkey vulture in the air, or even I'll just be imagining it and I can just see a condor flying through what I know their ancestral home is here. So really what I'm envisioning is that moment when they're just a part of our life again, and I could at any point just look up and see them in the sky.
I'm imagining chills. That's incredible.
Yes, it has literally been my life's work. I went to work for the tribe immediately after I graduated from college. I've since then, you know, been here for 14 years. I started as a technician. I've moved to a biologist, then the director of the wildlife department, which has grown exponentially since then. I've had a child who loves condors in a way that I never loved condors growing up, just because they'd been gone so long. I didn't have that relationship with them that is so important to our tribal people. But she's always going to have that relationship. She already loves condors. She's already asking for Prigganish. That's the Yurok word. She's asking for YouTube videos of Prigganish because she loves him so well. And that just makes my heart incredibly happy.
So you interviewed a tribal elder and ceremonial leader named Dr. Walt Lara Sr. about the condor. He sang a song for you that has passed down through the generations. I want to listen to just a little bit of it, and then maybe you can tell me about it. So, Tiana, what is the song about?
Well, the song relates to one of our most foundational relationships with Condor and our foundational reason for being as Yurok people. And not only Yurok people, but all the tribes in this area consider themselves to be world renewal or fix the earth people. We consider it to be our fundamental reason for being. And so Condor features very heavily in our world renewal ceremonies. And that goes back to the beginning of time, before humans were even really the people of the world, when the animals were the people of the world, the spirits of the world. The creator at that time knew how important it would be to maintain a world balance, to raise up a people who knew what that meant. And so he started devising these world renewal ceremonies. And he looked around and he said to everybody, well, we're going to do this dance. It's going to be one of the most important things that we do and that we teach the humans. I need a song. Or in our other words, I need a prayer, because our songs are our prayers, to help lead this dance. And so he in particular looked to Preganish, to California Condor, because he flew all over the world and he could see all of the things of the world because he had a kind and generous heart. Mm. And so it's that song that we sing in our world renewal ceremonies today.
And you also asked this tribal elder, Walt, to describe the stories he had been told about condors when they were still around, which was a long time ago. Here's a little bit of that.
They stood on the beaches. They'd all stand around on the beaches, you know. Then when the wind would come up, they'd just raise their wings up and twist the tips up a little bit, and they'd just pick right up and fly off. They wouldn't fly. They'd coast off. They'd glide.
What did you learn from Walt, maybe that you didn't know before, about the relationship with condors?
That story comes from before even Walt was born, because the last time condors were really documented in our area was at the turn into the 20th century. So about 1892 is the last documented bird in our area. But those stories are carried on from elder to elder, from elder to young person. And it's just so awesome, because you've kind of got this idea of Western science, which of course is an incredible tool for identifying some of these locations and needs and the like. But this is on the ground information that's been passed down for generations now about how condors engaged in our world.
I assume that the hope is not only that these four young condors thrive, but that they mate, that the condors become yet again permanent residents of the tribe's area.
The birds themselves don't reach full maturity until about 6 to 8 years old, so it'll be a few years yet. Uh-huh. But in the meantime, we will actually be adding about 6 birds per year. Honestly, for the next 20 years is the plan.
Wow.
This first cohort is super important. They are going to be the leaders of everybody who comes after.
So for those listeners who are not a member of the Yurok tribe and perhaps don't have any kind of ancestral relationship with this bird, what can you tell us about why this is important, the broader implications of finally being able to release condors back to a land that where they used to live and thrive?
From a conservation standpoint, this is a really big step towards reestablishing them. So reestablishing redundancy, reestablishing resiliency, giving them better protection against climate change, giving them new landscapes to expand out into and new relationships to form with people. There's been a ton of local and regional, national and even international interest in what we're doing and love for what we're doing. And I'm just incredibly privileged that we're here to take this next step and to help bring condor conservation just that much farther.
Well, I want to say thank you for all that you've done as you move forward in restoring the condor. And I hope we can speak again when we have a little more news on their progress and how they're doing. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I love talking to you today.
That's Tiana Williams-Clausen, director of the Yurok Tribe's Wildlife Department.